Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show right here on TNT Radio. So glad to be with all of you. Tonight, it is Wednesday, the epicenter of a very, very busy broadcast week. And we are going to dive in tonight to the psychology of manipulation, the psychology, the psychological weapons deployed by those who seek to enslave humanity that we are seeing in real time, certainly over the past 2 years, but that were being used for many, many, many years to create a society of people, a population of people who are fat for the slaughter, so to speak, ripe for the picking, right? The conditioning that has happened to the human population, especially in Western democracies where they are plugged in to media on a regular basis. We are plugged into tech on a regular basis. Do we wonder why perhaps Western democracies, human beings who live in these so-called first world countries are more susceptible to this concept of the global reset and totalitarianism? Why is it that we aren't questioning authority? Why is it that we seem so soft, so compliant, especially here in the US? It's not really the case in Canada and the Netherlands. I mean, even in Australia and Germany and UK, man, you guys turn out for massive protests and rallies, and you have been for 2 years. Not so much here in the United States of America. But what is that? Why are we so soft? Why are we so compliant? Why do we just do whatever they tell us to do? Why don't we think, right? Well, I think there's been conditioning that has been deployed, and we're gonna take a look at some of that, the psychology of totalitarianism. I'm in the middle of a great book by Professor Matthias Desmet. He is the Belgian psychologist who has popularized the term mass formation psychosis. It's almost like a mass hypnotic event where millions of people who are all getting the same messaging through mainstream news media, institutional press releases, propaganda, social media, all of it is coordinated and very sophisticated. And if you get these people into that state of mind, you can then essentially almost put them in this hypnotic state where they will just do whatever you say. We broached this topic last Friday on the show with my good friend Owen Stevens, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen back to that show last Friday, because we talked about the process. What is it? What is mass formation psychosis in this hypnotic state, and what needs to be in place? What are the conditions necessary in a society among a group of people, whether it's 100 or 100 million, in order to get them to that place where they are just uber compliant? And then how do we break out of it? That's what I'm really interested in. And now I would like to have Matthias Desmet on the program as soon as I can get him. So if any of the programmers over at TNT, if you hear me tonight, I would love to have him on, not necessarily to talk about the mass formation psychosis, but to talk about how to break out of it. How do you break people out of this hypnotic state? What can we do individually? What can we do collectively at the local level to get people out of this state of uber compliance and fear? And so that's what I would like to talk to him about. But we're going to delve in a little deeper to some of the other psychological elements that I think are at play tonight on the program. But first, I want to remind you, speaking of going back and listening back, if you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, like the interview that I did with Owen Stevens last Friday on mass formation psychosis, or the interview I did yesterday with Andy Wakefield. He is a filmmaker. Probably, aside from maybe Julian Assange, Andrew Wakefield, former Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who was stripped of his medical license because he questioned the safety and efficacy of the MMR vaccine decades ago, right, might be, aside from Julian Assange, might be one of the most compelling and controversial figures on the face of the planet in the 21st century. And I think he will be a defining figure. Remember, right now, we are in the middle of a great war. And it's psychological, it's biowarfare, all of the weapons that we think wars are fought with, that wars were previously fought with, are not being deployed right now. It's not muskets or cannons or tanks or missiles or even atom bombs. This war that is being waged right now is, in many parts, a battle for the minds. The mind and the spirit in the bodies of the American people and people across the globe. It is bio warfare, psychological warfare, institutional warfare. And the weapons are propaganda, manipulation, deceit. And so if you look at it in this context, that this is not just, you know, any time in human history, this is the time in our experience of human history, and this will define the 21st century. I believe the history books will be written, and what happens, what we do, what characters emerge, the decisions that we make, every one of us, even us little people from our own corner of the world, what we're doing in our local communities is going to shape this future, and it will determine whether or not we are free. Are we free? Or are we slaves? I don't know. It's all very exhilarating and terrifying and exciting at the same time. It depends, right? People are like, well, what's going to happen? I know what they're going to try to do. Rape and pillage and steal and destroy and depopulate and seize everything so that we own nothing and we're happy. We know what they want. So we know what their agenda is. The question is, will they succeed? And that depends on us. That depends on us. Will we fight back? Wakefield is a critical character in all of this. He's one of the guys that will be prominently featured. If we win and we're free and freedom and justice and truth is allowed to emerge to shape the remainder of the 21st century, then he'll be a hero. I truly believe that. And that was my interview yesterday. So at TNT Radio, you know, there are many ways that you can listen back. So if you missed your favorite radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT Radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio. Okay, so let's do this. I want to start with this piece because I love it. And it takes a look into the psychology a bit of those who resisted the COVID-19 vaccines. And that's a story that no one is really covering in depth or in detail. I know that there are studies being conducted voluntarily on this elusive population of people who resisted the most sophisticated propaganda, manipulation, and coercion campaign ever deployed in the history of humanity. So who are these people who were willing to lose friendships and jobs and livelihoods and money and respect, willing to give up leisure time and travel? I'm one of those people. I resisted, along with my family, the COVID-19 vaccine. I remember it was a knockdown, drag out battle in my family because I knew where I was on this issue, but members of my family who are not as plugged in as I am, who haven't been following this story for almost a decade, this issue of vaccine safety and efficacy and pharmaceutical companies, And so I knew where I stood. I knew how dangerous they were. I knew that they weren't being studied, but I'm, you know, you're dealing with family members who have jobs and lives. They're busy. Like they're not researching this stuff. And they are also plugged in to the mass propaganda and indoctrination campaign. And I could see it in real time. It was the most surreal experience 12, 16 months ago when I'm hearing them repeat back to me copy points and taglines and, you know, the messaging of the government and the pharmaceutical companies. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? And so my loved ones were forced and faced with losing things, jobs and education and opportunities. And we had these conversations that were just harrowing. Late into the night, we had fights about it. And at one point, essentially, for my husband and my older son, who is 16, I had to let go. I had to say to them, listen, at the end of the day, what I said to my husband, because he was getting pressured at work, everyone was getting it. And there were all these news stories coming out saying that it's inevitable in order to work and to work at the school that he was employed at, you know, teachers and psychologists. He's a psychologist, my husband, the devastatingly handsome Dr. Joy. And so he was seeing and hearing all over his social media and from his friends that it was inevitable, that even if he didn't get the vaccine today, there was going to be a mandate a week from now, 3 weeks from now, a month from now, a year from now. And so even though he didn't want to get it, the psychological trick they played on him was, well, it's inevitable, so just get it over with. And it was tiring because you could see everyone around him getting it or saying that they got it. And so it's like the walls were closing in and he didn't want it. He didn't think he needed it. He wasn't afraid of COVID-19. He didn't want it. It was all about what was he going to lose? Could he get on a plane? Could he chaperone my son at his volleyball tournament? And my son was in the same position because he was hearing that in order to go to high school, it was going to be mandated. He was hearing that in order for him to play volleyball, which he's dedicated his life to, we play all year round, every day, the entire family. We're very sporty at the Joy family household. And we play in the fall for school. We play club and in the winter. We travel all over the country. And in the summer, we play doubles beach volleyball. And so for the kids, especially my son, there were all of these news stories about and messaging from the volleyball clubs that in order to play in some of the biggest tournaments in Chicago and Indianapolis and in Vegas, you were going to have to show a vaccine card. And so my son is saying to me, Mom, I don't care. I just don't care. I just want to play volleyball. I don't care. He's not thinking of the long-term stuff. And so I could see the layers of conditioning, psychological manipulation, and propaganda building and building in these two men who I love so dearly, right? And two men, my husband and my son, who didn't want the vaccine, but felt like they had to get it and then just wanted to get it over with. And I'm in a space at that time where I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're gonna go out and they're gonna get it. They're not gonna tell me. Because we're having these discussions and some of them are contentious. The very end, I prayed a lot about it, honestly. This might have been one of the most difficult times throughout this entire two-year process. And I prayed a lot about it. And at one point I said to both of them, I said, listen, I've made my case to you. I'm telling you, just wait. Just wait until the absolute last minute. If you can do that for me, just don't do this. It's inevitable and I'm going to have to, right? Because all the things that they're saying are going to happen are not going to happen. They're lying to you. It's a trick. They're tricking you. So just hold tight. Just hold tight. But at the end of the day, it's your decision because it's their body. It's not my body. And I promise you, at one point I was like, Jeff, if you get this vaccine, then I'm not taking care of you. I was feeling a little angry, but I took that back. And I said, listen, at the end of the day, it's your body. But if the only thing I ask is that you tell me you're going to do it, don't go out and do this and not tell me. That's the deal breaker. If you want to get it, you can get it. And I'll take care of you and I'll love you. And I'm not going to ask you any questions, but just please tell me. so that I can look for these adverse events and I know what to do. And miraculously, I'm on a tangent, I'm telling you the personal story of this, but you can see the psychology there. At the end of the day, they resisted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And today, I think both of them are pretty glad that they did, seeing all of the data that is coming out. All right, we were on a tangent there. I have to go to break. We'll be back in a moment right here on TNT.
TNT Radio's Mike Ryan.
David McBride is facing 50 years in prison for blowing the whistle on the Australian Defence Force. He became increasingly concerned that the war was dictated by politics rather than the best interest of Australians and Aussie soldiers. He saw the rule of law and the rules of war not being followed, and indeed being breached. Can you provide some details of the crimes exposed by the BBC Panorama investigation?
Yeah, look, it's very worrying. They interviewed me about a year ago, and then they came out here and interviewed me in person. And so they had time to tell me quite a few of the details. The really worrying thing about that, and I think it's the same with the Australian case, was that British investigators like myself or lawyers saw it and said there is something wrong here.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
The PCR test for monkeypox. Another crap PCR test for another crap virus. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I hope that you all could see in the anecdotal story that I told. I took a little bit longer than I normally would to tell that story about my own family and our own personal discussions regarding the COVID-19 vaccines back when that full-on propaganda psychological warfare push was going on. And you can see, I hope that you can see the psychological elements and some of the tactics and techniques that were deployed by the manufacturers of the COVID-19 vaccines and also the government institutions that they have wholly purchased. And in those personal accounts, you can see how they really messed with people's minds at a very sophisticated level. Very smart people. My husband is a child psychologist. He doesn't operate in the sphere of mass manipulation, psychological manipulation, and psychological warfare. That's not his expertise. He does mainly testing for ADHD and ADD and learning disabilities, and that's kind of his niche area. He's a doctor. He got his doctorate at Alfred University. So he's in the field. He's in the field. And even he was impacted by this just enormous amount of manipulation. So you can begin to understand why medical doctors and lawyers, highly credentialed scientists and physicians, people who you always imagined were really smart, critical thinkers, would never fall susceptible. I mean, remember what we were being asked to do. We were being asked to inject ourselves, our bodies, with a substance that we had no idea would be safe. There were no long-term adverse impact studies. There were no studies on long-term effects on the immune system. The studies that were conducted were rushed. Remember, the normal vaccine, this is just basic, logical, critical reasoning. Any other vaccine, any normal vaccine, takes 8 to 15 years to bring to market safely. The peer-reviewed clinical trials, you do them over and over and over again. And if you have any safety signals, then that pharmaceutical product will be pulled from the market very quickly. We had none of that. It was an experimental. Remember, most of the initial injections were under the EUA, an experimental use authorization. Meaning, they were asking hundreds of millions of people to inject themselves with something as if they were lab rats. They were in the clinical trial, emergency use authorization. It is experimental by definition. And that is what we were being asked to do. And the idea that people just handed their bodies over is frankly extraordinary. There had to have been a campaign. There had to have been a campaign attacking the mind, the spirit, through fear, manipulation, coercion. The perception that the walls were closing in. Remember all of those social media posts. I have my vaccine card. I have my vaccine card. Remember, it was in social media. Remember all of the news headlines. 30% have gotten vaccinated, 40%, 50%, 60%, 80%, 90%. All of those headlines, they're designed to make you feel as if everyone else in the world is doing one thing, and that has the impact of making you think you're doing the wrong thing, despite what you know to be true, despite what is in front of your face. And I thought that was a really insidious tactic employed. The other tactic employed they used was the insinuation that in the future, this is inevitable. Resistance is futile, right? Resistance is futile. There's nothing you can do. The walls are closing in. It's going to happen inevitably. Just lay down. You're tired, right? You're fearful. You're tired. You want this to be over. That was another ploy that they used. The desperate, desperate longing to go, quote unquote, back to normal, to open up, to get back to normal life, to see your family and your loved ones. You can't go to Thanksgiving dinner unless you're vaccinated and you just want to see your family. You just want to have a normal interaction with your family. All of this, this mind work, going through people's minds, manipulating them into undergoing a procedure against their will. They might not even know it's against their will. They know they don't really want it, but it's everything else is bigger than what they want. That was the difficulty. And that's why we're going to look at this tonight. A great piece by Igor Chudov, just a month or two old. Vaccine skeptics are the true critical thinkers. And the byline here, we overcame the most sophisticated forms of manipulation. And this is a topic and theme I want to explore in this program. I want to figure out how we condition our minds. How can we spot propaganda? How can we spot manipulation? How can we know when we are being played? Because if we can learn to do that and then teach other people to do that, they won't be able to do this to us again. I think we're already learning this, but it's all kind of peripheral and it isn't like set in stone in like a paper or a piece. And I would really love, again, Matthias Desmet would be the guy to talk to about this, and perhaps Igor Chudov. He's fantastic. His Substack is igorchudov.substack.com. And this was a really cool paper that you can use as a resource. And then also, as I mentioned, I'm in the midst of reading Matthias Desmet's amazing book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism. It is almost a philosophical book as well. He looks into science and the cult of science, right? They really have. This is why I'm obsessed with cults lately. Because in so many ways, they really have turned the worship of science and experts and government institutions into this cult of people who are just blindly going off the cliff. We're watching our neighbors do this. We're watching it happen in real time. And we knew that cults were always a thing, that they've happened throughout history, more recent history, 1970s and 80s, primarily in the United States of America. And you knew you could do that with like 10 people, 20 people, 100 people. But holy crap, man, they just snookered so many people into their cult. It's insane. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to look at this piece, Vaccine Skeptics Are the True Critical Thinkers, in a moment right here on TNT Radio.
With a quick check of the day's headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. Russia has accused the United States and the United Kingdom of wanting to escalate the conflict in Ukraine into a larger war with Moscow. The U.S. Senate has voted to move ahead with a slimmed-down version of legislation to provide billions of dollars in subsidies and tax credits for the semiconductor industry. And Sri Lanka's parliament has elected six-time Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe as the crisis-hit country's eighth president, in a vote that threatens to reignite protests across the troubled nation.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Let us settle in and dive in to this excellent piece by Igor Chudov. Vaccine skeptics are the true critical thinkers. We overcame the most sophisticated forms of manipulation in the deployment of the propaganda for the COVID-19 vaccine. We're going to take a look back and remember and hopefully learn from what they did, the tactics that they used, so that we can condition our minds, our spirits, and our bodies to resist this in any form, whether they're trying to scare us about climate change or global warming or the destruction of the planet because of overpopulation, whether they try to scare us with the COVID-19 Teenage Mutant Ninja variants, like the H whatever, 2B, whatever we're gonna face in the fall. We've gotta clear out our mind of all those cobwebs and the fears and this complacency, this nature of compliance where we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust what's in front of our own eyes. We don't trust what we see, what we feel, our own senses, what we instinctively know and understand. We've been conditioned to question everything. We don't even know what a boy or a girl is. There's no such thing as a boy or a girl, right? I mean, that's a pretty basic one. Is the sky blue? See, we're so confused right now. They've dissembled so much that is so basic and made the simple so complicated and so impossible to understand that we can't even grasp what is reality. This is why we are fat for the slaughter. They've gotten us to this place where our minds are weak and we have to strengthen them. And people are going to do this in a variety of different ways. You know that my faith plays into this. But whether you are faithful, whether you believe in a natural God or you don't believe, whether you're an agnostic, atheist, or a believer, you can still deploy rational thinking. And you can still encourage the people around you to deploy rational thinking. You can't give up. You've got to continue just to throw wrenches in that propaganda machine. And that means speaking up and talking to your family, not being afraid to do that. Because every time you, and there's a study here that proves this, every time you throw in that seed of doubt, one person, well, you know, maybe the COVID-19 vaccine isn't safe. It disrupts the conditioning. It disrupts the cult-like stature of people. And so that's why we have to keep doing it. We can't stop. We cannot stop. But so let's dive in and look at this piece. He said he's doing a future series on this, Igor Chudov, on how governments, in fact, Igor is the guy to have in to talk about this. I'm going to try to find him and get him on this show because I think he'd be really interesting. He's looking into how governments and shady non-governmental organizations, NGOs, also the nonprofits, also the corporations, I would add. But he wants to look at how these players psychologically manipulated us during the COVID-19 crisis. In the series, he will highlight the various dirty tricks and explain why most people fell for them, one proposed. And so he goes into a personal anecdote about his training. He mentions a professor named Richard Thaler. So he is a brilliant behavioral economist. He's a Nobel Prize winner and a major contributor to what is called the nudge theory. And this theory, I remember Glenn Beck talking about this, about nudging a society, nudging a group of people. You don't go all in at once and say everything's going to change and this is the way it's going to be. You just introduce the change little by little. You make people think that the change is inevitable. You make people think that the change is ubiquitous. Everyone wants this change. Everybody thinks this is right. There is consensus. And you nudge people further and further into compliance with whatever it is you want them to comply with. It is very similar, in my opinion, to grooming. The way that a vicious predator, a pedophile, would groom a young child, little by little. It is, in my opinion, similar the way an abuser, a narcissist, or an abusive spouse would groom their wife or their husband. Little by little, they're gaslighted, they're made to be confused, they're exposed to completely inappropriate behavior, but made to believe that that behavior is normal. And you don't do it all at once, you do it little by little. Now, this guy, Richard Thaler, was not a, in my opinion, and in the opinion of Igor Chudov, this narcissistic sociopath. He was really just looking at the psychology of nudging, which is a little, honestly, it's a little insidious. It's a little manipulative, in my opinion. You shouldn't deploy psychology and these tricks and tactics to manipulate people. You should really just slap it down on the kitchen table and ask people, do you want this or don't you want this? Like, all of these games are very tiring and annoying to me. And they should be annoying to all of you as well. Because it's rooted in deception. And so Igor likes Richard Thaler. I've decided just in this little exercise that I've done with myself that I don't really like him. Because I don't like this idea of a nudge theory and how people, organizations, individuals, governments can use it to manipulate large populations of people. I just don't like it. But this nudge theory provided impetus for the infamous UK nudge unit. I don't even know what that is, but I'm gonna look it up. His work on human decision making and cognitive biases was groundbreaking and in part helped governments worldwide to hypnotize most people into taking the COVID vaccines. Thaler, around 1999, before he came up with this nudge theory, taught this class at the University of Chicago. It was called Decision Making. And Igor Chudov, the author of this piece at Substack, was in that class. He said that this guy was his favorite professor at the University of Chicago. He was an MBA student at the time. And Richard Thaler, who popularized the nudge theory, taught us a class called Decision Making. And it was about ways that exist to hijack our decision making and how our adversaries will use our subconscious bias to make us make wrong decisions, as well as how we can use these manipulations to our own advantage in business. Psychological warfare, okay? This is playing chess with Bobby Fischer. This is thinking strategically. If this, then that. What's your angle? You are coming here to me and you're saying this, this, and this. What is the underlying mission here? What do you want from me? And how do I deploy my own psychological tactics against you to get what I want, right? Do you see what this is? This is why when I say, you know, these battles today are not necessarily, it's kind of scary to think, but it's not muskets and cannons and guns and warfare on the streets. It's not guerrilla warfare or standing armies. It is this, I mean, super granular on the ground psychological warfare, part of it. There's the bio warfare as well. So apparently this is the stuff that they learn in the MBA classes in University of Chicago. But he loved the class, and he said that it actually helped him throughout his life. It affected some of his investment decisions and helped him in his business. He said, this same decision-making class possibly saved my life because it made me able to recognize and resist COVID vaccine propaganda and manipulation. Professor Thaler, this Richard Thaler, ended up on the wrong side of history, and he supported the COVID vaccine propaganda and the nudge units. But his teachings made me able to recognize manipulation and resist it. So I'm gonna pat myself on the back because I think that my instincts about this Richard Thaler character were spot on, because he was on the wrong side of history. Anyone who is okay with manipulating to get what you want, tricking people, even if you're smart enough to do it, honestly. If you're smart enough to do it, then you have to actively tell yourself every day, don't ever do this. Because that's not honest. It's not truthful. And it's not okay, even if you don't get what you want at the end of the day. It's not okay to try to manipulate less sophisticated people into doing things that you want. But he goes on, thinking about this made me appreciative of people who never took any such class, people who had no formal education. That's one of the interesting things about this elusive, mysterious group of people who refuse the COVID-19 vaccines. And it's different in every country. I think in the US, it's about 40% of the adult population. It's about 20, maybe 30% of the adult population across Europe, in Australia, in the UK. I actually think the number is much higher. I think the number of people who refuse vaccines is much higher than is being reported personally, which should give us all a lot of hope. But in addition to this group of people, there are people who maybe got the first shot, but never got the second or the third or the boosters, which means that their beliefs and this ability to manipulate them is diminishing, which is also really good news. But the interesting thing about this group, to Igor Chudov's point here about vaccine skeptics and the true critical thinkers, is that there really isn't a rhyme or reason. They're not saying, well, if you went to university and have 3 degrees, you are more likely to resist. If you are white or Caucasian or Hispanic or Black, you were more likely to resist. This group spans all racial ethnicities, all religions and lack thereof, agnostics, atheists, along with quote unquote religious people, socioeconomic demographics, age demographics, gender demographics. It really is this massive group of people from every walk of life that decided for whatever reason that they weren't going to get the vaccine. Now, the mindset is the same in the first piece that I brought to you a few weeks ago, because they are studying this group. They haven't really gone into the demographics yet, but there was a similar mindset. It was skepticism. Distrust of large organizations, which I certainly fall into that category. So people who are non-institutionalized. My husband went through 23 years of consistent indoctrination into the education system. So in many ways, very institutionalized. I didn't have that. I had parents and a family, they were super critical thinkers, and they questioned everything that happened in my school, everything that happened in college, everything that happened. They never trusted the government. And I was raised basically to always be skeptical. Like, what's your angle? Why are you here? People come in and they say, oh, I want to sell you. I'm like, why are you here? I was a salesperson for a long time. So I learned a lot of those tactics and techniques. Right? But so I was always skeptical. A lot of people are not taught to be skeptical ever. They are taught that the government will take care of you. And you should trust them. And you should trust teachers. And you should trust doctors. And you should trust experts. You should trust the news anchor that comes to you every night. There's never this, why should I trust you? I don't know you. I don't know you. You don't know me. You never think about me. You really don't have anything invested in me. So why on earth would I give you my trust? Like, that's my bottom line. That's my baseline. Most people aren't like that. We're going to come back in a minute right here on TNT to finish up the conversation right here on TNT Radio.
Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
HRES 1130 came up for a roll call vote on July 18th in the House. The resolution pertains to both Finland and Sweden joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, also known as NATO. It also calls on all members of NATO to ratify the Protocols of Accession swiftly. Essentially, it is calling to fast-track the approval process. Each of the 30 state members of NATO must approve of the expansion before it can go ahead. This is a wholly unnecessary and aggressive move in a time when we should be looking to de-escalate the situation with Russia and Ukraine. Finland shares an 830-mile-long border with Russia. Sweden has no land border with Russia, but is a major presence along the coast of the Baltic Sea. 218 Democrats and 176 Republicans voted in favor, with just 18 Republicans voting against, which means every member of the so-called squad voted in favor, because everyone knows how progressive warmongering is. This is Misty Winston for TNT Radio.
My name is Latoy Adams. I served in the Army. Being with Paralyzed Veterans of America, they have showed me so much is possible.
I'm Sean Castle, served in the United States Army. I went from laying in a hospital bed dying to being a professional wheelchair basketball player. And it started with that one moment where there's life. I am unstoppable because Paralyzed Veterans of America is by my side.
We are unstoppable.
Learn more at PVA.org.
The Great Reinfection.
With thanks to the COVID vaccine.
COVID vaccines are not safe and don't work. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Shannon, why are you talking so much about psychology? Why are you so interested in this? I think that this is really important. I am very interested in the deployment of psychological manipulation because I think that this is one of the major tools of the enemy. They have access to all the media outlets and they can put out this messaging through social media and through television, radio, newspapers. And so they have the infrastructure, right? That's the vessel, so to speak. Radio waves, airwaves, newspapers, websites, social media. You can put in that vessel anything you want. You can message in any way you want. You can message with the truth. It could be a free-for-all, wild, wild west, and you have the free exchange of ideas, and that helps the truth rise to the top. The cream rises to the top. Or it can, that vessel can be filled with deceit, manipulation, lies, and psychological terrorism and manipulation. And I think those vessels right now, they're using these vessels to deploy this psychological manipulation, and they continue to do so. We're getting better, I think, at identifying that, but this is why I think that the discussion about this is so incredibly important. Because if we as a people, as human beings, begin to understand this in a more nuanced way, if we begin to understand all of the ways they wish to manipulate us and the way that they do it, then we can resist it. This is one of their weapons. So we have to figure out how to deploy our own weapon against them, and that is first, knowledge of it. That's the first step, is knowing that it's there. Knowing that everything that you see and read and hear and think, everything coming at you on social media is rooted in a lie, is manipulative. It's designed to make you think a certain way, feel a certain way, and act a certain way. Everything. Even to my voice tonight, right? I'm not part of like this big machine that is like, I'm using truth, but there's still an agenda, right? I want people to see this stuff and to think this stuff, because the more people who know this and deploy this in their own life, the better for me and my family. Strength in numbers. So I'm always out there on a recruiting mission, trying to get more and more people to see it so that we're all safe together, right? But everything has an agenda. There's always an agenda. And sometimes the agenda is true. It is truth. That's the mission of my show. I launched my show 10 years ago. And at the end of the day, my show is about truth as best I can find it. Doesn't mean I'm always right, but I'm going to endeavor, even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if it makes me scared, even if I'm afraid I'll lose an advertiser or a platform or my reputation, I'm gonna go with the truth. And I won't lie, it's been difficult at times. And I have here in the States been attacked, demonized in a million different ways. I'll go into it another time. But I mean everything, everything that you can imagine. And so I think just that knowledge, first and foremost, okay, what's your agenda? You steel yourself to it. You open up your phone and you open up your social media every day, and you have a boundary up. And you say, okay, I like some of the things you're saying, but I know you have an angle, right? I'm gonna take everything with a grain of salt. That's the first step, man. If people did that, if people just questioned in the side of their mind everything that the news anchors were telling them and wondering what their agenda was, what their angle was. I mean, it's very obvious with media what the angle is. Every other commercial on television and radio is a pharma commercial. So right there, you deploy the critical reasoning. They are going to promote vaccines. They are never going to question them. They are never going to run stories critical of them, because the pharmaceutical companies are probably their number one advertisers right now. Number one, bar none. So what do you think your TV station is going to tell you? What do you think your radio station is going to tell you? Even on right-wing talk radio stations, I hear it all day long. Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Moderna, GlaxoSmithKline. I mean, every other commercial, not even COVID-19 vaccines, every pharmaceutical product. Okay, so there's the agenda, you know. So every time you watch news, every time you watch TV, even the shows, right? Because even the shows that are on, the reality shows, the drama shows, they're all funded by pharma, because pharma is the largest advertiser. So even in those shows where you think that it's just organic, you know, Simon Cowell on social media, America's Got Talent, I don't even know if he did this, but this is just an example, gets on Twitter and is like, hey, I just got my vaccine card. Okay, that's a manipulation. That is a product endorsement. And you don't even realize it's an endorsement. You just think it's Simon Cowell being organic. He's not. And again, I don't know if he actually did that. It was just an example using America's Got Talent. But you'll see it embedded everywhere. And so there's the angle. And so if people asked about the angles constantly, we'd have a different society. Why is my pediatrician pushing the vaccine? There's a money angle. Insurance companies might not reimburse if you fall under a certain percentage of vaccinated children in your pediatric practice. We also know that pharmaceutical companies reward pediatricians with cash. So if 60% of their clientele, the children, are vaccinated according to the CDC schedule, then they get $300 a month. If 80% are vaccinated according to the CDC schedule, they get $400 a month. If 90%, well, they get $800 a month. And this has been discovered and documented in the US. What's your angle? The medical journals, American Association of Pediatrics, they send out propaganda on a regular basis. Your peers come in. Oh, you're not going to give vaccines? Oh, you're going to write a medical exemption? And so there's peer pressure there. What's your angle? Why is this pediatrician so dedicated to jabbing my children with experimental vaccines? How is it they don't know what the VAERS adverse event reporting system is? How is any of this happening? Going into every avenue of your life, and asking, what is the angle? Is it they really believe in vaccines or they don't want any trouble? Is it they're being paid off to promote vaccines? Is it they really believe it? Some of them are true believers, not all. Most of them aren't. Most of them aren't. They're just lazy thinkers. I'd say the vast majority of society is not like gung-ho. I love vaccines and I love being afraid of COVID-19 and all the variants. I love lockdowns. I love gloves. I love hand sanitizer and 17 masks on my face. I love not seeing my friends and family. I love the chaos and the confusion. I love not knowing if I can schedule my wedding or my baptism or the kids' confirmation. This is great. We love the new normal, COVID-19 and vaccines. That's not most people. That really isn't. It's like a small, tiny, tiny, tiny minority who are probably severely psychologically defective, not to be mean, right? It's mostly people who are on the path of least resistance. They're lazy. They're busy. They're tired. They're probably sick because they've had the vaccine and 3 boosters. They don't feel good. And so they're just going along. They don't want to do the hard work of investigating this stuff. And they're so bought into it that it would be an ego shot if they admitted that people like you and me were right about this. And so these people are actually pretty easy. If, you know, all what we need to do is just kind of continue to build up this group of rational, reasonable, common sense thinkers, and we can't be afraid to speak out. And that's where you can come in. So I can come and talk to you on the radio every evening, and a lot of talkers do. There are a lot of radio hosts and broadcasters, especially here in the States, especially on terrestrial radio, especially among the syndications, the Hannity types, Limbaugh types, the Glenn Beck types. And I like Glenn Beck. But any of the big conservative voices have a model, and they're going to come to you every day and they're going to scare the pants off of you. And they're going to say the Democrats are coming, the liberals are coming, global warming, ESG, and everything about their presentation to you will be about the doom and the gloom and the fear. It's inevitable. There's nothing you can do but vote in November for Republicans who are going to do the same thing to you. That's their business model. They can't veer from that business model. That's how they make their money. Because even their audiences in some ways are conditioned. That's not my model. And I can tell you my model is not very lucrative, but that's okay. It's the truth. My model is to hopefully empower you and to help you and encourage you to get out in your own life and to think differently and to act differently and to not be afraid to stand up from your own corner of the world. There's nothing scary about that, and you can do it. And that's why we do this every evening on TNT. I've run out of time. I've gone too long, like usual. Please come back tomorrow and join me again right here on TNT Radio.